My name is Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Star Trek!
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Red Frosting.
It does like you!
Mr. Kim.
And it's real!
It's not a promising beginning.
I can't believe it. What a great night we had.
Yeah.
I'm joined here by the illustrious Kim Miller, otherwise known as the Doctor.
Hello.
And also by Luddite Star Trek person, Jason Makaris. Jason, what's your middle name?
Anastasios.
Anastasios. Not Star Trek related at all.
No.
And...
but very Greek.
To his immediate left, the silent one, loud as a whisper...
She's not here.
Chrissy McCara.
She's not here.
She's just here to listen. That's fine.
Okay.
But that's all beside the point, because we have really exciting news. Tonight, we went to go watch the Star Trek concert.
We sure did.
Yes.
Except for Jason and Chrissy. So 50% of us saw that. No, we saw the Star Trek concert, Kim and I.
50th anniversary concert.
The 50th anniversary concert. What is the name of that? Do you remember it, Kim? I don't remember the name of it.
What was it?
Star Trek concert. There's a little bit of Tranya pouring right now, so I'm not going to lie to you. It's the Ultimate Voyage Concert Tour.
That's right.
And if you are in an area where you can see it right now, you have to see it.
Mm.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, so good. It was... When it first started, I wasn't sure if they were going to actually have actors from the shows. I thought,
they had actors from the show? I didn't know this.
I mean, like... on the projection screen. They were showing clips. I was afraid they would just show...
Jonathan Frakes came out and...
Michelle Nichols
was there.
Front row. Our friend, Michelle Nichols.
We met Michelle Nichols. I almost kissed her.
This is true.
Yeah.
It was at a movie premiere that she was in, loosely, if I use the term loosely.
It was...
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting film.
It was not a good film. Michelle was not a good film. I mean, I think...
Obviously, it wasn't her fault. She was just a low-budget movie.
She was good in it.
Yeah, she was good in it. How many years ago was that? It was like 8 years ago. Something like that.
I'm going to look it up. You keep on talking.
Yeah, it was about 8 years ago. So we saw this film in the premiere, and then afterwards, Mike actually interviewed her on camera.
Yes.
And we ended up having no audio, so I think it was a worthless interview.
Much like this podcast.
Yes, exactly.
No.
But the thing I loved about it was that Mike asked to get a picture with her, and she was very gracious and very nice. And then she looked at me and said, "I want a picture with you." And I was like, "Oh, yeah."
Michelle
Nichols hit on me, basically.
It was called Lady Magdalene's, and she was sort of a madam.
That's right.
And it is just a film which is worth watching, because it was made for the price of an iPhone, basically.
And shot on
they had a love scene, or not a romance scene, where they went to a gun club and they shot guns.
I barely remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was really amazing. And she sang jazz music, just kind of like, you know, willy-nilly whenever she wanted to.
Yeah.
It was just sort of like a vehicle for viewers.
I feel kind of bad because we're putting this out in the world and Michelle Nichols could be listening right now.
Well, and she is. She was great.
She was great
in the movie. The movie had some issues.
She was even better in person. Nice lady.
She was even better. And I had such a great conversation with her, and I can hear that. I can totally hear that Rhea McCarris.
We can hear the crinkling
going out there. It's all right. Rhea McCarris is also right here. Jason McCarris is
my sister. She's visiting from San Diego.
And she does sign language.
I do.
But she's never seen Loud as a Whisper, the TNG episode, which uses sign language, so that's too bad.
Well, we might have to show her a little bit of it later.
Rhea, will you watch Loud as a Whisper and talk to us about it at some point in time?
Sure.
All right, that's good. But I don't want to talk about it. I just want to talk about what happened tonight, which was Star Trek to the Nth Degree.
I'm eager to hear about it.
So it was a great concert. It was a 2-hour and 20-minute concert with an intermission.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. And it had all of the classic songs, all the songs you wanted to hear. It had songs, music, basically the theme songs from 1 through 6. Chrissy!
I'm sorry, I'm so...
These gummy bears!
Pour them out!
They are amazing.
I'm going to blow them out here.
My gosh, we're so going off the rails. I so enjoy it so much better when I'm just talking and brooding heavily about an episode and no one's talking to me.
And the gardener.
Can you
imagine? Yeah, we're talking with my gardener and no one else enjoys it but me. Listen, it's like a Star Trek party. So they had like basically the music from season from movies 1 through 7, basically. They had the theme songs from TOS, TNG, Voyager. They didn't do Enterprise. They didn't do It's Been a Long Road.
Much
they
had Deep Space Nine. Nate's chagrin.
He's hoping.
Nate Pearson.
We were really
very disappointed.
Hoping that Spotlight would come up in it.
Rod Stewart.
Singer would step out.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rod Stewart. But they had... They had Dennis McCarthy. They had
Jay Chataway.
They also had who else? One other person. I can't remember. The three of the composers for The Next Generation, Enterprise, and Voyager come up and conduct at least one song that they had written. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Fantastic. They had a giant screen projector projecting images as the music was playing.
Really well-edited pieces from all of Star Trek that fit the music they were playing, and then they had like sections of the music would have themed, like here's all about the Enterprise, and here's emotional scenes from all the whole body of Star Trek work. Oh, so good!
It was so good. It was so great. And as a bonus, and this is what makes this podcast relevant, is that at one point in time they said, "Oh, we have Michelle Nichols here," and Michelle stood up and everyone gave her a nice round of applause.
And Mike yelled at me, "Get up, Doctor! She's royalty!" I had stuff on my lap.
We had to give her a standing ovation because she was
there.
I almost kissed Michelle Nichols. We didn't finish that story, but
true.
We had this audioless interview because we had the mic set for internal.
Yeah,
so we could
like
sort
that.
Of we could hear all the ambient sound in the background. We could barely hear us. See, this episode is all about sound and lack of sound because we have people doing sign language and we have sound in the background. And she was so beautiful that I was right there next to her, where I was talking about like how she kissed, you know, Shatner in what episode? Plato's
Stepchildren.
Yes, and so
TV history.
Yeah, yeah. Although depending on what you hear, there are versions where they actually kissed, or versions where they actually turned away from the camera and sort of simulated a kiss. But irregardless.
But the versions where they aired differently in certain places or
no,
something?
No,
okay.
it's whether or not they kissed or not is sort of up to debate a little bit.
I see.
Okay. So
because the setting of that scene is they're forced to kiss.
They're forced to kiss, yes. This interracial couple is forced to kiss
so
in the 1960s.
Sort of like,
yeah, they don't enjoy it at all. They're so upset by it. But she was so beautiful. I wanted to kiss her right then and there. I wanted to just disavow my marriage for like 10 seconds.
Oh,
thrown in jail.
Go into the guardian of forever,
wife.
Kiss her and come back. And then, but I didn't. I was good. And you know what else was good? This concert tonight.
Yeah.
Can we get to something that I heard a little earlier, which I want to get to the bottom of?
Yes.
I heard you that you, both Mike and the doctor, were shushed during the concert.
By some Aussie... So we're sitting next to this guy. So first of all, Kim and I showed up in our Star Trek shirts, or my Star Trek shirt.
As any true fan would, I imagine.
I don't understand the reason not to. A lot of people wearing like these kind of like these sort of
suggestions
of Star Trek, which is ridiculous. It's the 50th anniversary. There's a lot of old people there. Like we're old, but people are showing up like in like little what are those like zip up jackets,
jackets, hoodies and stuff.
Hoodies, like hoodies. Like, oh, I got my Star Trek hoodie. Like, no, that's ridiculous. That's stupid.
Did you wear that same Star Trek hoodie when we went to see a movie premiere recently?
Say,
well, that was for the Star Wars.
Okay,
that was for Star Wars.
All right.
And that was
so,
okay because...
It was a qualifier. Okay,
well,
I got you.
If the Star Wars crowd was going to turn surly, I could always zip it off and be like, oh, hey, look at them, and Obi-Wan, right?
Well, you had your Captain Kirk shirt underneath the Captain Kirk hoodie.
Yeah, you're right.
So you could unzip.
Yeah. I did forget about that. Okay, so I was asking for trouble. But this, I was asking for kudos. We were the most dressed, right? There were a couple of people that had better shirts. There were like two or three people that had better shirts.
make sure we can pick up whatever's going on back there.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Loud as a whisper.
Loud as a whisper.
Oh my gosh. We need Dustin Marshall to teleport us to Feral Audio so we can be in a sound booth, all right? I'm telling you that right now. All right, so here's the deal. So we were there and they said, so I'm going to get back to the point here because we have a lot of Tranya right now.
And so there's a lot of Tranya flowing.
It's going through my veins. And so they said, okay, Michelle Nichols is here. And also we have people who are involved with the new TV show from 2017 coming up. Can you stand up? And a group of people right in front of us, like five people, stood up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the heck is that?
Right in front of us.
Right in front of us. Like, you know, and we'll tell you about the Aussie story in a second. But they sat back down, and I'm like, That has to be some of the cast, because they're, like, good-looking. Yes.
Oddly young and good-looking.
Oddly young and good-looking.
Did not look nerdy enough to be writers.
So they're either, and they're either, like, the, like they could be the writers. Oh,
Lord.
Like,
this is the loudest podcast I've ever done.
This is part of it. Come here. Come here, girl. This is a Friday. It's April Fool's Day. We're rolling with everything here right now.
National holiday.
This is, there are no holds barred. There are dogs here. There are siblings. There are wives.
There are crinkly plastic bags here.
There are crinkly plastic bags.
There's gummy bears.
Filled with stuff. I can see Rhea McCarris signing. Yeah. I don't know what she's saying, but it's not good. I know.
I'm pretty sure it's about you.
Sure.
It's about third season TOS episode. They're not that bad.
The sequel sucks.
What's that?
The sequel sucks.
The sequel sucks. What sequel, Chrissy?
Star Trek.
What?
No.
Chrissy.
She ran away.
You couldn't see this on an audio podcast, but my wife just made that comment and then ran away.
She said the sequel sucks, which was...
We're not sure what that means, exactly.
I think she's trying to curry favor, which was nice, but then, like, she didn't have enough, like, background data points.
Was she referring to Star Trek Into Darkness?
Chrissy, come back here. Come back here. So, now let's...
We have to examine this. Yeah, maybe. Possibly.
All right, so the sequels suck. What sequels are you talking about?
I was fed the information. I'm sorry.
Chrissy,
fed the information.
All right, so Chrissy, now you've never seen Star Trek. Is this correct?
Never.
Have you seen Star Wars now?
Yes, I've seen Star Wars.
She's seen the original trilogy and Force Awakens.
She's
never seen the prequels.
At your request.
Yes.
Okay, so you haven't seen the prequels, though. All right, but you've never seen an episode of Star Trek at all.
No. I think maybe bits and pieces here and there.
Have you ever seen the movies? Have you ever seen, like, the one with the whales?
No.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You might actually like that.
Yeah, I think you'd like that. It's about ecology in the 80s.
I've seen all the films. Well, the original.
You've seen. Jason, yeah.
I've seen the original cast films, not the Next Generation. I've never seen any of those.
Right, right. So, all right. So... can we get Chrissy to watch at least one episode? Can we get you to watch?
You look like you're gonna be tortured.
She grimaced.
An episode, so it's half an hour.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Oh dear God.
Watch a Friends episode. It's a half an hour. If you want to watch? You know.
Oh, because this is not Friends.
We can make you watch an animated episode that's 22 minutes.
No.
It's
a whole series or what?
No. An hour.
I'll watch an hour.
It's 40 minutes. Oh, yeah. I'll give you 40 minutes, Chrissy, and I'll give
you
a break.
I'll watch
without
an hour.
I'll give you an intermission. Yeah.
I'll watch an hour, yeah.
Yeah. I want to enlist you in this so we can actually talk. So you don't...
For me, I'm either going to love it or I'm going to hate it. I'm going to get so into it that I'm going to take notes and I'm going to be a big fan, or I'm just going to be like, I can't. I can vouch for
there's
kind of no in-between with me. Well,
her OCD will take over. She'll take notes.
Oh, I would love that. I would love it. Because, see, Jason, he's not really...
I've been trying to watch the first episode you've given me.
He's asked me like three times and I told him he still has not watched it.
Not only have I asked you, I've started watching it three times and I haven't completed...
Which one? Where No Man's Gone Before?
No.
Or The Cage?
The Cage, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I've asked him three times to watch The Cage.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, don't give him The Cage.
Yeah,
to
well,
start.
You're also going to watch it in order.
Well, I suggested, and then I moved on.
Which was interesting because I also noticed that, like, Netflix and Amazon and Hulu all list the episodes differently.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
At least Hulu and Netflix. I was looking at them both, like, simultaneously. It was interesting that The Cage is listed first on Netflix and maybe not Hulu or reverse.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but
I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So keep talking. as I'm waiting.
So I'm just Mike was giving me some background into how The Cage happened first, right? It was the first thing they shot. It was a pilot before, and the first one that aired.
The Cage was the first episode. This is correct.
Right. So The Cage was the first episode.
Well, it
Where
was
No Man Has Gone Before was the second episode, or no?
I'm sorry, let me... So The Cage was the first pilot.
Right, correct.
I'm seeing The Man Trap as number one.
On Hulu, yes, you're absolutely correct. Yeah. Yeah, so there's all sorts of issues here.
Yeah.
Hulu lists it as The Man Trap as being the first episode.
Okay.
I don't even see The Cage or... The No Man Has Gone Before is listed as episode three.
Right.
So they're all messed up.
Yeah, I don't even think.
In Netflix, they
list it
as The Cage as the first episode,
right.
And then We're No Man's Going for this is the fourth episode.
Okay.
Whereas in the actual air dates, the man trap is first, Charlie X, and then Where Did My Eyes Go Number 4 is the first three.
Interesting.
Yeah, so. Well, this is good. This is really
good. Well, prepare to be for your new obsession, Chrissy.
So, Chrissy, which
yes.
what do you want?
The 60s here? Well, you mean this 14,
I know, 60s. I know. Please say that more disparaging. Please, please, like, deride everything we're doing right here, please. No, Chrissy, so let me just sort of, like, do, like, an okay, Cupid... like a Christian's Mingle sort of like filtering
Farmers
of what
FarmersOnly.com
like so do you like shows with action in them or shows that are thoughtful or shows that have like characters who have questionable morals? Tell me which one of those three do you like.
Oh.
Action.
I have my idea of what Chris
thoughtful characters or questions who have
action. I could care less about so much.
Okay.
It's more about. Good story. Something that really kind of you can identify with, especially as a woman. I like emotional things. I like
questionable
drama.
Questionable morals, though, I think is high on your list,
mm-hmm.
too. She's a big fan of, like, prison reality shows.
What?
It's true. Yeah.
Huge.
I was shocked when I learned this about my wife.
Well, we should have a podcast about this new show called 60 Days In.
Yeah, 60 Days In.
Wow.
Where they
okay.
send
anyways,
group of people undercover. We don't want to diverge too much from Star Trek. But
well,
there's a show where they send people into prison undercover to reveal problems about the prison. It's a reality show.
I'm still drinking, so we
yes,
can talk whatever you want. All right? Until
I
sober
know, that's
up.
Kind of my... I think I'm all over the place, actually.
No.
I think we should...
I think you would like many things about Star Trek.
Oh.
I do too. So what would you suggest, Kim? What would you... Do you think Next Generation? Or I'm thinking Next Generation. Possibly...
I think...
Do you say it's not?
Edith Keeler.
Well, we could certainly do that one. That's
it's not heavy on action. It's a very good story.
But the Inner Light would like definitely hook her in as like as...
Oh,
as
sure.
like a story which really speaks to the heartstring.
Which one?
It's called The Inner Light. It's on The Next Generation.
Okay.
It is regarded as one of the best episodes.
So you don't have to watch them in order.
No. No, not really. No, those are pretty episodic. Those
well, you know, but The Next Generation was a series after the original series. Later
yeah.
on, this is 90. Yes, 80s. Late 80s, early
87.
90s.
1987 it came out.
Yeah.
94 it ended. Yes. So
huh.
we saw that, Kim. We saw it.
Yeah.
In the 50th concert, they showed when the start dates of all those were.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, you saw it. Well, of course.
With
I mean,
you.
Wouldn't
well,
be
no, I mean, it was
a podcast
was,
called
yeah.
I'm talking about Star Trek.
I've
seen it.
Them all, yes.
Yeah.
I know all this.
Yeah.
So, getting back to my original. So, Chrissy, let's get you to watch The Inner Light. Do you think, Kim? I mean,
yeah.
or what is it, the episode? See, now I'm drunk. What's the episode name? Oh, God.
The
City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So,
I like the name.
Yo, it's a beautiful story. It's got Joan Collins. It's got
Joan
yeah.
Collins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
I just said that because I know Chrissy would have no idea. You don't
yeah.
Joan Collins.
In my way.
No, but when I was in bartending school, I learned how to make a drink called Joan Collins. That's
oh.
how she could order best.
There we go.
So
already connected
so
to it.
She's an actress.
This story is about how that drink was made. this is the origin story.
Of our unrealistic expectations.
You will watch it. It's very
okay.
good.
No, it has a good dose of sci-fi in it and a really good story.
Why not? I don't think
it's good.
So watch those two for Chris.
Okay.
And then when I come back here, we will talk about this. All right. We'll
oh,
have
my.
Like we'll have
it's
a
funny
deep
how
dive.
I didn't even want to be a part of it.
No,
I have an assignment. I have to come back.
You blurted out
homework.
The sequels are terrible. And then you dashed away, but you're in a condo, so you can't go anywhere. It's a Friday night in Los Angeles. You get shot if you leave. That's there's criminals everywhere.
That's a very. I just broke down the podcast. What happened
here? I don't know. I don't know.
Everybody suddenly paid attention to what I had to say.
For the first time, Jason.
You
I
still
feel honored.
Finished your
all right,
story.
So,
for
so here it is. Here it is.
No
so,
derailing.
This is the best part of the story is that these guys stood up. They said, okay, so we have people who from the new Star Trek series. Can you stand up? And they kind of look into they kind
of
shrugged. Like,
part of
okay.
the Star Trek family, if you're here tonight, please stand
and they
up.
They stood up and they kind of shrugged their shoulders and they're good looking actor types. They sat back down, like, what's the deal with these
what
guys?
The hell?
So afterwards, like during the intermission, I stood up. I said, "Hey, so you guys, you know, part of the show?" And they were attractive, but not gorgeous. They weren't models, which right? Am I right? I mean,
I'd say the men were pretty good looking, and the women were sort of regular looking.
Yeah, I mean, they were not like...
Harsh criticism.
They were not... But I like that. So the guy nearest to me, who I was almost... I thought was going to punch me, like, when we were, like... when the show first started, I'm like, Star Trek!
Star Trek!
He turns around rapidly. He's like, and he lifts his hand, like, oh, God, he's going to hit me.
He was looking for a high five.
He was going to high five.
Okay.
Yeah, so a high five is like a weak, hey, high five! Yeah, Star Trek! And then, like,
did you guys miss each other? And then,
no, I tapped his shoulder, like, oh yeah, it's totally cool, buddy. And I high fived him. It's fine.
Tapped his shoulder.
I tapped his shoulder, you know, like a manly tap.
Everything was fine.
So anyway, so I talked to him after. I said, so are you guys part of the show? And he's like, oh, well, we can't really talk about. Are you guys part of the writing crew? Because maybe they could be writers, attractive writers. It's a possibility. It's a small percentage, but there could be like some sort of statistical anomaly where there are attractive writers. Like all of them attractive, all of them charismatic, all of them not like introverted. And they said, well, you know, I said, are you guys part of the cast? And he said, we really can't say.
Oh.
And so I was like, ooh. So I said, hey, my name's Mike. I said, hey, my name's Dan. And we kind of shook hands and I was wearing my Star Trek shirt, so I outranked him, but it didn't matter because we may have met the new cast of Star Trek All Access.
Did you exchange numbers with him?
I did not, because I wanted to talk to him, because after the show was done, we all got up and we all filed out, but that Aussie dude blocked us. There was an Australian guy.
Is he Australian?
Yeah,
just British
or Australian. It's a Cockney accent. It was a thick Cockney accent, so he's probably a criminal. He's probably from the Botany Bay. He was from the Botany Bay.
There was a chimney sweep sitting next to him.
G'day, Governor! So he seemed like a nice guy. He was wearing like a command yellow shirt. It was like a button-up shirt, but he was like, ah, look at you, you're wearing your shirt! You know, like, and then like we pulled out like our iPhones, like, ah, look at this, you can do everything, eh? And like we were sharing a moment. And then we're watching the concert, and we're watching all these clips, and they did like a Klingon clip, which was ridiculous, because every time they showed like Kang or Christopher Plummer as General Chang with his constant Shakespearean, you know, I am as constant as a northern star, Kirk. And I was like, oh my God.
Cry, come back. Slip the dogs of war.
We were just laughing. And so it starts a little bit. He comes up, he taps me on like the shoulder, and he goes, shh. And I felt really self-conscious all of a sudden. I was like, oh my God. And then I felt mixed, because it's like, I should be a good audience member. But at the same time, fuck that. This is Star Trek, and I don't care. So I laughed, like, sort of like medium. I laughed. And then every time he laughed, I kind of like turned to him. Like, you know, oh, now it's funny, huh? Oh, sure, now that line's funny. So
you ruined your full enjoyment of the show.
Well, at least in the first act. In the second act, Kim and I switched seats. So, because Kim was having her own problems, weren't you?
What was
your problem?
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
This lady next to me eating from a noisy bag.
Oh. We can identify. Kind of
like you can completely identify.
Gummy bears earlier, yeah.
Gummy bears, not Star Trek lore. So we had our problems, but we switched, but that worked better for me. It worked okay for you,
too. Yeah, he was fine the second half.
Yeah, so... But the concert was spectacular.
Good.
Aside from annoying audience members.
And us annoying audience members. Yeah. It was a two-way street.
Before the show started, we were just shooting some foolishness in the aisle. Mike said, here, shoot me. So he walked all the way down to the front row and then talked to an usher who was standing in the front of the audience. And what did you say to them?
I said, hey, can I go on stage? He's like, no, you can't.
I said, can I go on stage?
Wait a minute, can we rewind here for a second?
Sure.
Why did you...
Let's go on stage.
This is a security guard? Or
it was, an usher.
An usher, okay.
He was a good-natured usher.
Okay, and you asked him if you could go on stage.
Yeah.
How many people were there? Like 1,500 people?
Was this a huge deal that you guys went to, or just a kind of a small
deal? Well, it was at the Pantages
Theater.
It was like 2,000 seats.
Okay. It's pretty large. So
it was fairly full?
Yeah. Because we bought the tickets. They were on sale. They were like $30.
Right. So you asked the usher to go on stage.
Yeah.
They said no. What were you going to do on stage?
I don't know. I mean, I was Captain Kirk. I do what the hell I want. Right? It just makes sense.
You have a plan?
It kind of reminds me of the time we...
Chrissy, do I ever have a plan?
No.
Does this podcast have a plan? No.
I'm reminded of other times where... I'm sorry to bring it back to Star Wars, which is my thing.
Oh, God.
But when we went to Return of the Jedi... We saw We went to see Revenge of the Sith opening night. And Mike went in front of the entire audience in a Jar Jar Binks mask.
And a Captain Kirk shirt.
And a Captain Kirk shirt, indeed.
Was it?
I don't know about the Captain Kirk shirt. That was at the Star Wars convention.
That's right.
Star Wars Celebration. Yeah, but you enraged the audience with your Jar Jar Binks mask.
Yeah, it was not a good scene, but
it was hilarious.
Revenge of the Sith. So,
what else did you say to the usher?
Then I asked him if I could get into a Star Trek fight with him, and he was like, haha, sure.
Wait a minute, why did you ask him to get a Star Trek fight?
Because that just seemed appropriate.
Because, obviously.
You have to do that with the understanding that he understands what a Star Trek fight is.
Yeah, I mean, a young kid. I think he works
with... Why was envisioning like an old guy?
No. He was like, they were all young people. I think a lot of them go to EMDA, the American Music and Drama Academy, which I teach.
Which
at.
You might teach. I am
at the Starfleet Academy for Actors, basically, if you can believe it. And we parked there, and woe be to me if they find that out. But
you pretended to punch him.
I pretended to punch him, and he chuckled, and did he punch me back? I think he punched me.
He just chuckled.
He just chuckled. I initiated the Matt Decker maneuver. Which was, as you're being led to sick bay by a security guard, you feign coughing, and then you punch him from behind, basically. Because that coughing somehow distracts someone.
Yep.
Like it's like some sort of, he's coughing, I should probably lower my guard. And it doesn't work, but it worked in the episode. The Doomsday Machine.
Kim doesn't watch Star Trek.
I know. All right.
Stumps me on these titles. But, unbeknownst to us... Who was sitting in the front row? And we walked right past them.
Was Michelle Nichols? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So we did. So in my avarice, my hubris.
Hubris.
In my hubris and my garth of Izardiness, I walked past Michelle Nichols and missed a chance. Although she might have sat down later. And also, Leonard Nimoy's kids were there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. Yeah. I mean, I've worked with Anna Nimoy before on The Invisible Man. So we talked about this before.
Have we on the podcast?
Yes. We mentioned that he was not necessarily great to my wife. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So I guess he has a book where he said he was under the influence of several pharmaceuticals, which made him not necessarily the nicest person. So we will. I look forward to a time to. He was good to me though, and he directed one of the best episodes of Invisible Man. So
we should have a discussion sometime about meeting George Takei that one time too when we saw Wrath of Khan.
We should.
The Egyptian.
Yeah.
What a fantastic nice guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely, genuinely sweet guy.
He was a nice guy. It was the first time it was a good meeting with him.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
We'll leave it at that.
I'll leave it for another time.
But let's leave it for another time. I think we should call our friend Ryan Elder. So
yeah, absolutely.
I need to say, so here's the thing. Here's what I want to impart upon you is that, Kim, when you turned and looked at me, what describe what you saw.
Pure, unadulterated joy.
I was so happy.
So
I couldn't
happy.
You had a full, 70-piece orchestra playing Star Trek with all the images expertly edited on top.
Yeah.
It was so perfect, wasn't it, Kim?
Yeah, very well edited.
So nice.
Really
it was so
enhanced
great.
The whole experience.
It just made me so happy. And there were times when I paid attention to the orchestra and times when I paid attention... Because they played Voyager, they played Star Trek II.
My favorite part was they did the entire fight scene from Amok Time with the music. Oh, so good.
It was so good. It was so good. They even had little guys on little egg shaker things. I was trying to enjoy it, but at that point in time, I was still upset about the Aussie guy. He was like, shh, I want to enjoy this. Kreika to you.
Kreika.
Kreika.
Oh,
so,
no.
But the music was sublime. But I want to talk to my friend Ryan Elder,
yes.
who is... Ryan is a composer who has composed for Rick and Morty. Ooh. He has composed for, I think, Wizards of Waverly Place.
Yes.
He's won an
Ooh.
Emmy for that.
Wow.
And if anyone
knows... These are his least impressive credits. He composed many
Well,
pieces.
Rick and Morty's pretty impressive. That's,
yes,
that's,
Rick and
that,
great,
that will
yeah.
That will thrill the millennials of this
right,
audience.
Yes.
So I'm going to call him as we speak. Let's see. Let's get this going.
Nice.
And Jason's going to be really angry because of the way I'm doing this.
Yes.
Let's see if we got this. Totally hear that.
That's the idea.
High technology.
Mike.
Ryan?
How's it going?
Ryan, it's going good because I just want to talk about Star Trek. What a fake laugh, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you so much for greeting me with that terrible laugh. I love that. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Are you here or are you in Minnesota?
I am in L.A.
Oh.
Ryan travels back and forth from L.A. to Minnesota. Isn't that correct, Ryan?
That's correct.
Now, why do you do that?
You know, if you don't come back to L.A. once in a while, people forget about you too much.
This is true. This is true. Now, Ryan, we've been talking a little bit. We're talking about Star Trek. You know that. You know what's coming, right?
I'm guessing, yes.
You're a big fan of Star Trek, and I'm a big fan of you. Ryan, as I pimped you earlier, as I endowed you earlier, is a great musician. And Ryan, tonight we went to go see the Star Trek Ultimate Voyage in concert. We heard all their music tonight.
That's exciting.
Yeah. No, you. I'm hoping it's late at night that is masking your enthusiasm.
That sounds amazing. I would love to go to that.
Well, you can go tomorrow. There's still a show tomorrow if you can get tickets.
Oh, good.
It is 100%.
I might do that.
Craigslist it, Ryan.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, it's if you like. I mean, because you like Star Trek. I'm correct, right, Ryan?
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of the original series, but I've seen almost everything else, including most of Enterprise.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. So, do you like Enterprise?
It gets okay. I can guarantee you this. They did not play the theme from Enterprise at that show that you went to tonight.
We so hope because they went through every show, Ryan, and when they got to Enterprise, my friend Kim, we were just crossing our fingers that we were going to say, it's a long road, but they didn't.
Yeah. Of course they didn't.
So Ryan, I'm calling you specifically because it was such a great concert and the music was so great. Tell me what you like about the music of Star Trek. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot, but tell me.
Well, Jerry Goldsmith is pretty much my composing idol. So I actually like the music from the original series better than anything that comes after. Mm. But it's really the sensibilities that he sort of set the table for that gets used in every single show after that, even Enterprise. Like, the theme is different, but all of the incidental music and underscore is all in that. Like, I mean, that style is just so quintessential sci-fi action.
Oh my gosh, you got to go to the concert then. They play so much of it.
Yeah, you got to go because they play like the Amok Time, where you know, the fight music, and they play.
Oh yeah, I mean that is like an iconic piece of music.
Yeah.
About as good as it gets. I should go to that. That sounds great.
It's fantastic.
You know, the podcast is going to go ahead and pay for your ticket, Ryan.
you'll be in the balcony.
It's all covered.
Just stand outside the theater and something like that.
All right. Will call? Will it be there for me?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
I completely agree with you that the music is it was interesting because, you know, I felt like the music in The Next Generation and beyond was very kind of incidental and was sort of background.
Yeah, you know what I think is really interesting about that music is that it's just kind of doing its own thing while everything happens. There isn't a lot of, like, really specific scoring, whereas in the original stuff there was, like, you know, stings on punches and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
But in everything after that, it's just they're sort of setting the tone. Which kind of works for Next Generation and beyond because they're just more toned than anything else sometimes.
It really sets a sort of a bed for which the drama can sort of unfold,
exactly.
Whereas in the original, it becomes almost like another character. It really it's like, you know, you should be excited, you know, sort of like that, you know.
Yeah, that style of scoring is pretty out of fashion, actually, the like overscoring every little action like that. That's like really kind of old fashioned, so I can see why they didn't do it even now in Next Generation.
Yeah.
And plus, they just don't have time, honestly. Like, these shows are turning over in a few days. They're writing the scores for these shows, so I bet more like that.
Yeah, so Ryan, we actually, like, we sort of met, I think we met some of the cast of the new show in 2017. They were sitting right in front of us, and they're just like, "Oh, if you're part of the Star Trek family, stand up." And they did. And then we were kind of like, I kind of pressed them because they were either writers or they were actors, and they couldn't say, like, they were like sort of forbidden for saying, even though they were not forbidden from standing up, which is kind of like a weird thing.
Why don't they stand up then?
Look exactly.
Forbid you from standing.
It's sort of weird. But let me ask you this. So,
like they're saying, like, I have a secret.
Pretty much.
It was really, and they're all sitting together. So I have to think that like they either bought the tickets or you know CBS bought them the tickets. Although they weren't great tickets, they were they were like double R or something like that. So like, what are you guys doing on the suburbs here, man? Get you guys some good tickets. Nichelle Nichols was there, and she was in the front row. So yeah, but let me ask this, like, because you first of all, you're already doing a show that's about as close to Star Trek as possible, which is Rick and Morty. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both science fiction. I think Star Trek is a lot more hopeful than Rick and Morty.
But it's 21st century Star Trek. So my question is, so you, like, let's say they contact you, say, you know, Ryan, we want you to score Star Trek, like this new series.
Oh, first of all, it's a great idea.
I think
we should float that idea. If you happen to be listening from the CBS Now, whatever the hell that network thing is that they have streaming.
All Access.
Oh, my God. All Access. Thank you. CBS All Access. If you're listening.
We need all Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to place a call here. Yeah, call Ryan Elder, for crying out loud.
Dear God, that's the best solution ever. Yeah.
I would drop everything, of course.
But tell me how, like, give me some ideas, like, I mean, you don't know even the tone or anything like that, but what would you do as far as, like, composing a theme? What, just off the top of your head, give me some ideas. Would you embrace the past, or would you go for a whole different direction?
No, of course, you have to embrace the past. It has to be a fanfare on French horn. It just has to be. That's what I hate about the Enterprise theme, like, it's just a cheesy song. It could be on any show.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ryan.
What?
No, it has to be like the other shows, you know, an interesting fanfare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a sense of hope and wonder, and it's like, you know, the theme from the new what's that show with Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Oh, Cosmos.
Cosmos.
Cosmos, yeah, that has a very Star Trek kind of opening.
You're right.
And it's because of Brandon Braga, I think, producing it. I wouldn't be surprised if Alan Silvestri, the guy who did the music for Cosmos, will end up doing the music for this new series, although maybe it's not high profile enough for him.
Or it's kind of weird that it's on All Access, isn't it? It's kind of like a weird kind of, you know.
It is.
It's like
it's really weird.
It's like CBS created like a YouTube channel. And it's like, here comes Star Trek. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, So tell me. So you like Next Generation? You're a big Next Generation fan.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's your wheelhouse. DS9.
That's probably my. Third favorite.
Okay. Second favorite
probably
is
Voyager, slightly better than DS9.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Voyager feature tonight.
Yeah, there was a lot of Voyager there. I think you'll appreciate that. Although again, the music. I mean, they played the opening Voyager theme in the first act, but they have like montages of like it's very thematic. So like they might have it about like exploring strange new worlds was the Voyager theme. Star Trek II, like one of the themes was about like the ecology. It was like a weird kind of like montage. But then when they actually got to the Voyager music again, that's like all everything from Next Generation on is very incidental, and it's hard to kind of pin, you know, a strong theme to it.
Yeah, they don't get super thematic at all. In fact, I can't recall ever hearing the melody from the theme song used as a motive or a phrase that you'd hear in the incidental music ever on these shows, now that I think of it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And that's really kind of strange. You'd think they would do that, but...
Because in the old series, they did that all the time. Like they reminded you you're watching Star Trek, like melodically, right?
Yeah.
But in the rest of them, I mean, maybe in the Next Generation there might have been like some notes placed there. But
yeah, they must have done that. They must have.
Yeah.
And I'm just not remembering it.
Now, would you like follow the thematic qualities of like Next Generation and keep it kind of underlaid, or like I really enjoy the music of Battlestar Galactica, which was far more percussive and far more, again, it was very Star Trek like, where it's like, this is music you have to listen to. What do you
think? I mean, yeah, Bear McCreary is the composer on Battlestar Galactica, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
Total rising star. So here's what I would do. I'll answer your question honestly, and then it'll be kind of a cynical answer, and then I'll give you like a real answer.
Oh, wow.
The first thing I would do is I would do whatever they wanted me to do.
Yes.
So if they wanted me to be an underscore without being thematic, I would. But I don't know. I mean, I prefer to write thematically. I don't do it a ton on Rick and Morty, but when the opportunity shows up, I will tease that main theme melody as much as I can.
Okay.
And I'm working on an animated show right now that's more fantasy world, and that one I'm hitting a really strong theme in that as much as I can. So I prefer to do that. It's more fun, and I think it gives an identity to the show.
Okay. Those are all good answers. I mean, you've answered all of them. I have no problem with any of those, right? Especially the one about the money. It's like, if they're paying, you can do whatever you want.
I object.
Ryan, can I ask a personal favor which may jeopardize your career?
Of course.
Okay. That's what friendship's about, yes. Right? That's why Ryan and I are good friends. At some point in time, in maybe Rick and Morty, because like you're looking at season 2 or 3 right now, is that what it is? It's season 3?
3. They're writing 3. I'll be starting on it in the next couple months.
Would you surreptitiously mix in like the opening notes for Enterprise? Da 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 da.
You know what's funny is I did use the chord progression from that on a song that I did for this sketch show I'm working on.
So, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
But like if you can put in like just those like 5 notes, 5 or 6 notes, like so that it doesn't interfere with anything, but just so that we know that you have tipped your cap to the valiant crew of the Enterprise NX-01. I think we'd all be in your debt. I think that would be great. I'm sure.
I'll give it a shot. I can't make any promises.
Here's the deal.
That just seems pretty easy to do.
If you hit any writer's block, just kind of throw that in.
Well, here's my follow-up. If you run an ace or a pushback from Harmon or Roiland, I will talk to them personally, all right?
Yeah.
I will march down there.
Tell you, they won't notice at all.
No, I know. Yeah. I know they will.
Honestly, I'd be more worried about getting sued than anything else.
Oh, I see. Well, then just invert it. Just invert it for me, you know?
There you go, yeah.
Yeah. Road Ben, it's a... Oh, wow. Well, this has been great. I think this has been like the best conversation we've ever had.
Yeah.
And Ryan, tell me what because this is all podcast synergy, right? So what podcast are you doing that I've been on?
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a total and now for something completely different, but it's a podcast about the show Survivor, which is also on CBS All Access.
Ooh.
The elder statesman of reality TV.
Oh.
It's me and a guy that you know well, Scott Chernoff.
Yep.
Funny guy, writes for BoJack Horseman and School of Rock on Nickelodeon. And we are big Survivor fans, and we usually have someone funny on who... You're the exception to this, but usually hadn't. We haven't seen the show. We make them watch it. Usually they like it. Sometimes they don't. Either way, it's fun, and we talk about it each episode.
I love the podcast. I've listened to every episode.
Ryan knows as much about Survivor as I know about Star Trek. His knowledge is so deep.
Not just that,
Scott,
but Ryan.
Scott is the real brainiac when it comes to remembering. Stuff about Survivor. I should mention the name of the podcast is Snakes, Rats, and Goats.
Snakes, Rats, and Goats.
Snakes, Rats, and Goats.
Yeah.
Love it.
And Elder is amazing at kind of breaking down game theory and the gamesmanship of Survivor. And I really appreciate hearing every week, listening back about how he feels things broke down on the show. And it's fantastic.
You,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been great, and I do enjoy listening to him talk about stuff because he understands the game, he understands game mechanics so well. That it is humbling at times.
Yeah.
Snakes, rats, and goats.
Goats, yes.
Snakes, rats, and goats.
Yes.
It's part of
a
speech
a reference,
that yeah,
yeah
nice. Someone gave it
yeah.
at a jury. So
yeah.
Season one.
I love
was
the
it
show.
Season
I
one?
Yeah,
to,
yeah. Sue Hogg, right?
Sue
yeah.
Hogg. Yeah.
Wow, that's right. I, for some reason,
and
I
the funny
later.
Thing was, I'm at some point, I'm hoping to be on that podcast with you because we watched the finale of season one together. Do you remember this?
That's right,
yes.
We did. And
uh-huh.
Sarah, my wife, was
finale.
So angry.
Oh yeah, but Richard Hatch winning, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was so angry.
Yeah.
I told you that, didn't I, Ryan? I told you that in the podcast that she was. So
yeah,
angry.
I love that.
We were at WonderCon. I talked a lot about public education with him. It was LA Unified School District. It was really weird.
Very cool.
They're and on that, we're going to say, Ryan, thanks so much. Thanks for, like, staying up and talking to me, dude. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ryan.
I will
talk Star Trek, especially Star Trek music, anytime, any day.
Can we talk to you again, Ryan? Is that possible?
Of course.
Oh, that'd be so great.
I'd love to hear your opinion on the concert if you're able to go tomorrow night.
Would you go tomorrow night if you have a chance?
Just tomorrow night, because tomorrow is tough.
Okay, all right. Well, that's all right. Well, let's see what we can do. Maybe we can fly you out
somewhere. We'll BitTorrent it for you.
We'll fly you out somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Talk about it. Off the air.
Yes, off the air.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Thanks for talking to me, man, and I'll talk to you later, buddy,
yep.
Okay?
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
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 That was Ryan Elder, probably one of our most, well, I don't know. I guess one of our guests.
Between Abed and your gardener.
Well,
a very exceptional guest.
And illusionist Paul Draper. One of our.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot about Paul. Yeah.
One of our most musical guests by far. Certainly by far.
What a perfect person to call when we saw the concert tonight.
I know. Well, and
yeah.
he
very
told
fitting.
Me he really wants you. And Ryan's a great guy. He's just like the nicest guy in the world. And he's
yeah.
so brilliant. He's composed like, actually a couple of songs for me for pilots I've done.
Oh.
And just on the fly, it's like, hey, do it with these words, and he'll come back like in 20 minutes, like, how about this? Like, oh my god, that's the best thing I've ever heard. So if you need to hire someone for your theme music, we should get him to do the podcast for this, right?
Snakes, rats, and goats.
Yeah,
snakes, rats, and goats. Yeah,
do the podcast for this. Yeah,
podcast.
Why don't
yeah.
we get him to do the podcast?
Podcast
Never mind
for
the
this.
Theme.
My grammar is starting to leave me. I'm starting to.
Said almost two glasses of wine.
Almost two glasses of wine. I'm starting to speak like Moussaka or Tellarite, you favorite mission. So we sort of need to wrap this up, right?
Sort
yeah.
of.
Before
sort of.
Jason's voice goes.
Before my entire family disowns me. There's
right,
somebody
right.
behind me now.
Well, where is...
Rhea's lying down right there.
Rhea, are you asleep? I guess she is. Oh, damn it. I want to talk to her
Take
about sign language and how does it whisper.
Next.
We'll save it for next
put
time.
Put earplugs
we
in.
Got,
yeah.
This has been a nice, long one. If you listen... See, so here's the deal. Is that both Kim and Jason had issue with my other podcast, my other episode about both...
Oh,
man's
I didn't realize the doctor shared my feelings.
She tuned out a little bit, despite the fact that I had my gardener on, who was fabulous.
The section where you talked to your gardener was riveting. I loved that part.
That's the best part.
Yeah, yeah.
But the rest of it is a little dry. But I need to work through this stuff. And I don't.
Yeah.
And you
clearly.
I do because I Kim said, I was just saying I was so happy. Like I was beaming. I was like a little kid again. I was just
at the concert. You mean?
Yeah, because
yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at this. I'm like, when am I going to hear music like this music, which has been like part of my life for my whole life, played again by a huge 70-piece orchestra in the Pantages Theater?
Yeah,
like never. Mm. You know, and when am I gonna have a sour Aussie guy next to me, like telling me to be quiet?
You.
Probably more times than I'll hear the Star Trek film. So. But I was so happy about it, and we met maybe at the
new cast.
So.
Yeah,
shook our hands.
But let's face it, the ones who were not as attractive as Kim was pointing out, I think they're going to be covered in makeup anyway.
This is probably
they're
true.
They're
going to
be covered
yeah.
in Klingon
that
makeup.
That
sounded
so. Mean. There's nothing wrong.
They are all wonderful.
I just want to put it out there
people.
That the doctor thought they were very unattractive.
Very
unattractive. No. I'm just saying the men were notably good looking.
Oh, well. Oh, in that case.
That's all.
Sign me up for all
gentlemen,
access.
Gentlemen, she's on Twitter.
All access doesn't mean what you think, Kim, all right? It just means you get to watch it, all right? Hello, Captain.
CBS, all access.
Yeah. All right, we are done. I'm done.
Excellent.
Krika! With Krika! And Woom to start this, to stop this. Tranya has taken effect.
Very good.
My name is Mike McCafferty.
Yeah, I'm Kim Miller.
I'm Jason McCarris.
But we thank you for listening to this because I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
I have a little accident. I lose a pair of lungs.
Feral Audio.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior. Happening discotheque. Remember when we call clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend, who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh, my God.